We bless you, Master. We bless you. We call on the name above all names, Jesus, who will show us great and mighty things. We come to you this morning, Father, in the name of Jesus, ask for your forgiveness, for your mercies and grace, for your continued counsel, correction, and direction, repenting for every sin, transgression, and iniquity, repenting for touching unclean things, false agreements with the enemy, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Repenting, Lord, in the areas protecting self instead of surrendering. Have mercy upon us and let your grace abound, Master, as we welcome the Holy Spirit to come. Come, Holy Spirit, take your rightful place. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive. Let the anointing of your presence and the glory of your love break every yoke of bondage, severing us from the entanglements and affairs of this world, from emotional attachments, severing us from sicknesses and diseases and infirmities and bondages, that we may be free in the Spirit, bound to the stripes of Christ, healed. Healed by His Word. Adriachalam Yahiti Kiango San Shonda Kapa Takaya Alamoro Aramoso. We love you, Lord. We love you. And we thank you. Please, Master, grant us the wisdom, the knowledge and understanding from above. Grant us the boldness to stand strong. Grant us favor, like-mindedness. Melt the walls of denominations and bring us into unity of oneness. Sever and expose religious spirits that bring division and strife. We come against the spirit of error in the name of Jesus. Afiamboso. Yes. This is the day of freedom. This is the day of revelation and confirmation and manifestation and impartation. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And everybody said, hallelujah! Hallelujah. Praise God. How many of y'all know God's on the move? Yeah, He's on the move, all right, let me tell you. Awesome things are happening. Signs of the times are manifesting. And if you can't see them, you better hang around with somebody that can. Because things are definitely happening. We are definitely in the beginning of birth pangs, which is called the beginning of sorrows, and we are coming out soon. It's just a matter of short period of time. You know, one of the things that the Holy Spirit is always telling us, because He shares with us that He not only gives us the truth, but He tells us things to come. He lets us know in the areas where things are interfering with our life. And that's why it's so important to be walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, and hearing the Spirit. You know, you can read your Bible and go by the letter, but the Spirit is what brings your word alive. And it's the anointing breaks the yoke. There's many people who know the truth but can't practice it because they're not backed by the anointing. And one of the things we don't want to do is grieve the Holy Spirit in our life. Why? Because then He'll constantly be in the area of leading us. The Word tells us in Hosea 4:6, and you don't have to go there, that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And lack of knowledge, of course, we know is a representation of knowing truth, hearing truth, and being led by the Spirit. And he said, can you imagine God saying, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge? In other words, the reason for that is because in an area of life or something that you've not been able to see, refused to see, or been blinded to. An area where you can't see, right? Maybe you used to see, but now you've been blinded to it. And now you're relying on just the letter instead of relationship. And when that comes in effect into your life, you've already backslidden. Because it means you're going backwards instead of forward. The Spirit leads us. Has everybody got it? He leads us. That means we got to follow Him. So in this, the Holy Spirit quickened me today of something that I think is very important. And I want to first go to Matthew 15. The Bible says that we're to expose all darkness, aren't we? In Matthew 15, in verse 1. Matthew 15 and verse 1. Let's read this together, please. Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." And he answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying what? Honor your mother and your father." So we honor you mothers. Happy Mother's Day. "Honor your mother and your father. And he who curses father or mother, let him be what? Put to death." Wow. That's Old Testament. "But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." Does everybody see this? Then he calls them what? "Hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." And this is important because he was telling them, you know what, in that period of time, you know, they didn't have Social Security. In fact, ours is almost gone too, so praise God. But the children at a certain age, when the parents also got at a certain age, they were responsible to help or support their parents. And they would give to God, and at that time, they would give to God and use the excuse of avoiding support by giving to God and not to the parents. So there was no honor in it, and they tried to get away with it. And he called them hypocrites. He said, "Far be it that you draw near to me, but your heart's not with me. You have a form of godliness, but you deny." In other words, you make your own doctrine, but it's not by the Spirit, it's by the commandments of men. And Matthew 6. Now, there is a spirit behind this that I want to talk about. And Matthew 6. In verse 16. Or verse 19, I'm sorry. Matthew 6 and verse 19. Let's read this together, please. "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be." Continue. "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So the light that was in us now becomes what? Dark." He says something powerful in verse 24. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon, representation of money. And he shares here, this is, in other words, you can't serve God and mammon. So he calls mammon as a spirit. The spirit of mammon is a demonic force that has infiltrated the tradition of mankind. This spirit or principality is a high-ranking officer of Satan's kingdom. And he carries the office of treasurer of Satan's kingdom. He is a mass merchant of Satan's kingdom, and he expresses many fruits of deception, which he hides behind his demon counterpart, which is also known, and you may have heard, I don't know if you've heard this or not, but they've called him the golden demon. I want to go a little further with this. In John chapter 2. Now, many people who have been demonized or in very heavy occult have associated with these spirits, and they have become wealthy and now have lost everything, and now they become Christians, and you can pick up books that have talked about their testimony, and it'll blow you away. We had a missionary that came and stayed with us for about a few days, and she was one that was in Africa. And she wrote a book about a gentleman who was a high priest of Satan who had gotten saved. And I'm telling you, some of the things that had happened would blow your mind. Or they were able to transfigure themselves into animals and certain other things, and they sacrifice humans and whatever. And these things are real. And, you know, so many times people don't want to talk about demons, but, a third of Jesus' ministry was casting out devils. And the Bible said that all the things that Jesus did couldn't be contained in one book. So there's a lot more, isn't there? That's why you got to have the Holy Ghost. So you can be led into other areas of revelation and truth. Does everybody understand that? But of course, everything will still be backed by the Word in one way or another. A demon is a demon. There's a different type, though, isn't there? Go to John chapter 2, please. Verse 13. Would you read it? Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who stole oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. So I wonder what spirit was behind them. Mammon. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away and do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. So one of the things that happens is God begins to remove some of the areas in our life that have been associated with the spirit of mammon. There are many people who were wealthy who've come to Christ and basically almost lost it all. Hello. And it's not because God took it, it's because now the enemy is no longer blessing them. We'll talk a little bit more about this. But removing the spirit of mammon from his temple, many come to the Lord, and they do lose things, but then it's restored to them. Many believe it's still a prophet of the Lord. You know, many people try to profit the Lord's name. They profit off of his name. And that is the spirit of mammon. Many people try to profit off the Lord's name. There was a gentleman that I knew, and I'm not going to mention any names, and the word tells us to listen to the Lord and you'll be established, and obey the prophets and you'll prosper. But in that, it's because it's a word for now in the area of obeying the prophets. You know, the Spirit of God will come upon a prophet and express what's going on and share certain things to assist in prosperity. And it's not just wealth, it's prosperity spiritually also. And there was a gentleman that he was proclaiming to be a prophet, and one of the things that his most number one thing was money. In other words, he wanted to be paid for his prophesying. And it grieved my spirit. It grieved me. And at first he was a sweet man of God. But then I saw a change. And as I began to see him in other areas, I began to see that money was a priority. And in this, I said, I just grieve my spirit, and I stopped associating with this individual. And God used them to rescue many souls. He used them in healings. He used them on all kinds of things. But even the word says that many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, I prophesied in your name. I cast out devils in your name. I healed in your name. And they'll say to him, depart from me. I don't know you. And I kept trying to figure out, Lord, what? There's something behind what's going on here because I have a grieving in my spirit. And though he moves in the gifts of the Spirit, yet there is an area where he is so strong and stern on making sure he gets money. Making sure he gets money. And I know the kingdom of God needs money, you know. I mean, you can't buy Bibles without money. There's certain areas. But it was just the way it was. It was like, you know, it wasn't the area of leaving a place and trusting God that he would get money. It was he would stay there until he got his part. I'm not leaving until I get my part. And I thought, man, this is wild. And I knew that there was something behind the spirit, and I kept thinking greed, and maybe it was covetousness, not maybe just deception. And then I realized when the Spirit brought me to the spirit of Mammon, that's what he dealt with. That's what was involved in his life. And one of the things I really believe that Jesus is sharing with us is we need to get the spirit of Mammon out of our life. Everybody okay? Hallelujah. Because you can't serve one or the other. It's going to be one or the other, isn't it? Go to Malachi 3. Now, you didn't think we were going to get some soulish Mother's Day message, did you? We said honor your mother and father, right? You know how many mothers are all dressed up today waiting to, you know, going to their churches waiting to be, oh, yes. Well, happy Mother's Day again. Praise God. And the Lord honor you and bless you. Now let's go on. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Would you read it with me? Will a man rob God, yet you have robbed me? But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even with this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive this. Now, this is powerful because the Lord is saying, listen, first of all, it's not your money. Now, he's only asking for 10%, you know. And sometimes he'll ask you personally for more. But he's saying, will you rob me of the blessing that I, and the talent that I gave you to bring income? He's saying, listen, you can keep the 90%, but be a good steward of it. But make sure you give 10% to the kingdom of God. Why? For his storehouse. So people can get fed who don't have anything. So people can get clothes. So shelter can be established. You know, people wonder why. It blows my mind that there are so many people that are claiming to be believers. And the word believe means to follow. But yet, they hold back from God. Well, you remember Ananias and Sapphira who held back from God. And during that period of time, they dropped dead. And he says, you bring a curse on yourself when you do these things. Even your first increase should be a part given to the Lord. You know, even if you get a gift, somebody blesses you with $1,000, you should give 10% to the Lord. But so many people hold that back, thinking, oh, well, this is from God, so thank you. Yes, it was from God. But he expects you to bless him with the blessing he gives you. And verse 11. And now look at this. And I will rebuke the what? Devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord. And all the nations will call you what? Blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Now, you know, when he's talking Israel, he's also talking the body of Christ. So in this, he's saying, listen, If you're willing to abide by this, I'm going to rebuke the devourer. Now, I want you to also understand that the devourer is the spirit of mammon. He is the spirit of mammon. Devourer is the spirit of mammon. He steals from the people of God to give to the children of darkness. He's like Satan's Robin Hood. This spirit also prevents the move of money to you. There are two ways to overcome him and two things that are essential. And this is just the beginning of it. First of all, consistency in faith. Consistency in faith will overcome him. His fruit is to hold back money due to the kingdom of God. In other words, he always is trying to prevent the believer from getting the money. Does everybody understand that? What's more dangerous, a believer having money or the kingdom of God having money? Actually, the kingdom of God having more money. Why? Because he's, to him it's more dangerous, isn't it? We can do a lot more things. So the spirit of mammon is out to deceive and manipulate and to destroy any area. But he knows that there are spiritual laws. And in these spiritual laws, he follows them. So when we are disobedient to the things of God, he gains access. And the Bible says, make no place to the devil. So I'm not here teaching about tithing. I'm here because we're to expose the spirit of mammon. But what is behind an individual who's not willing to tithe? What's behind an individual who's not willing to give an offering? The spirit of mammon. In 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And starting at verse 1, please. Let's read it together. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires a position of a bishop, he desires a good thing. Now, a bishop is one that oversees. You know, God may share with you about starting a ministry, but there are certain qualifications. You know, just because he's telling you to start a ministry doesn't mean it's today. There are certain qualifications for you to be an overseer. And these are what he says. He says, a bishop then must be what? Blameless, a husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission and all reverence. And if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how can he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. So this is important. He says there's two other fruits that are associated with the spirit of mammon. It is called greed and covetous. Greed and covetous. When you see those manifesting in your life, you know that the spirit of mammon is behind it. Money can't fulfill offices. Many can't fulfill ministries. God is not allowing them, because they're associated with these spirits. Because of this area of their life, there is an open door. And the enemy is constantly coming and stealing, killing, and destroying. And it's an area where an individual must mature and learn how to overcome and take dominion. Is everybody okay? Other than that, an individual is a novice. And pride, will always try to justify their wrongs, so that they can fulfill what they believe is from God, but it isn't time. Because if it's not God's time, it's not God's will. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Would you go to 1 Timothy chapter 6? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words from which come envy, strife, reveling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. Those are individuals that use ministry, God's name, to profit themselves. From such withdraw yourself. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which draw men into destruction and perdition. For the love of money, say the love of money, is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. He's warning to remove yourself from those persons who carry these type of fruits. Why? Because the love of money is the root of all evil. The Bible says evil company corrupts good habits, doesn't it? They bribe people with provision and false humility, having a form of godliness, but are deceived, blinded, and dangerous. This spirit is associated with religious spirits and a destroyer of marriages. A destroyer of marriages. And a destroyer of faith. In Proverbs chapter 1. Do you realize how many arguments are done over money and marriages? Hello? How many times money is what's caused divisions between good friends? When somebody promised something and they didn't fulfill it, you did a job for someone and they wouldn't pay you? That's a spirit of mammon behind them. Not only that, they're probably possessed by that spirit. In Proverbs chapter 1. He is a high-ranking spirit. He's a high-ranking force of demonic activity. He is a treasurer of Satan's kingdom. Verse 10, please. Would you read it with me? My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood, and let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us what? Swallow them up like hell or Sheol, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of what? Precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us, and let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owner. Wow. Taking possessions or an area of dishonest gain brings a curse. Do you remember when Achan, in the Old Testament, he stole the what they call the accursed items? When they went in and took the land in a war, and it was told not to take anything from there. And he took it because he saw that it was worth something. And he brought it into camp of Israel. And the Lord said, hold on a second. And they went out to war again and they couldn't fight their enemy. And Joshua came back and said, why? Why could we not defeat our enemy? We outnumbered them and everything. What's the problem? And the Lord said, you've got an accursed item among you. And until you get rid of it, you cannot defeat your enemy. People have no idea about accursed items in their home. And it was spoiled. It was not to be taken. There are movies and books and all kinds of things in people's homes that are accursed items. Many believers carry accursed items in their homes and don't even realize it. And it allows the enemy to access them. It allows them to come and to steal, kill, and destroy. Some of them are sick and disease and dying. Some of them can't go. They get a certain limitations. It puts limitations on a person's life and on their family's life. And it brings a curse on the family line. Accursed items draw demonic activity. Many believers don't even see it. But it is true. And Jesus warned them. Get rid of the accursed items. Movies, books, music, all of the secular. You know, people are compromised and complacent and lazy. And the Lord's saying enough is enough. Remember, he's coming back for a blemish-free bride. The church is returning to its original state. And there's a lot of shaking going on. There's a lot of exposing going on. And the purpose of that is so that we become more in his image and likeness. Remember, the word says, come out from among them. He's talking about come out from the ways of the world. Come out from their culture. We belong to one culture, and that culture is from above, not from this place. This is not your home. This is not your home. Don't make it your home. Hallelujah. Let's go to Psalm 73. Spirit of Mammon. Would you read it with me, please? Verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Let me tell you, you know, hey, nobody says it's easy to see. You know, you wonder, man, why are these people who are heathens? I mean, they steal, they lie, they cheat. They're good business people because they cheat and steal and lie. Why? How come they get away with it? But they really don't. And here, David was explaining, man, you know, I give it envious when I see the wicked prosper. In verse 3, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the what? Prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued with like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance, and they have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are ungodly. They are always at ease, and they increase in what? Riches. So he's talking about envy of the prosperity of the wicked. The power of mammon, of the mammon spirit, is to keep money out of the hands of the Christians, who are not interested in building their own empire, but are willing to give abundantly to building the kingdom of God. Are you listening? The Spirit distributes wealth to his servants to maintain global control. The beast will eventually control the world by financial system, but mammon is responsible for establishing contracts with agents employed by the rulers of darkness. Most of these families are wealthy and respected, using the money that has been provided by their contract of darkness. Hello? Are you listening? To support wars, politics, distribution of drugs and movies, TV and music industries. These wealthy families in the West are in an occult organization known as the Illuminati. They are dedicated to establishing one world order under Satan's rule. This is a fact and truth. Mammon expresses control over demons of greed and selfishness and poverty to keep Christians in a poor state of being. People who live for money, love money, and are possessed with the mammon spirit. This spirit attacks the body of Christ to change your mind from giving. So you may be giving. You may be giving extra, and all of a sudden you get attacked by the spirit of poverty. God wants to know whether you're willing to stand strong. Again, they attack the body of Christ who changed their mind from giving. There is a way to defeating the spirit of mammon in your life. And I want to share a couple things. First of all, you must repent from robbing God. Is everybody with me? You must repent from robbing God. Quit telling people you're a believer if you ain't willing to give. You bring a curse on yourself and it opens the door. Bind the spirit of mammon. Take dominion and bind that spirit every single day. Does everybody understand? Take your authority in the name of Jesus and bind that spirit and command them to come out of those areas. My suggestion is this. Instead of giving 10%, give 15%. Now, I'm not going to pass no bucket around or a garbage can. And I'm going to share with you another thing. I have it automatically taken out. So you can kind of play with it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what I do. Have it automatically taken out. Give 20. Of course, I'm not going to share how much I give, but it doesn't matter. But it's more than 10%, let me tell you that. That way I'm accustomed to it. And then when I want to give more, I can give even more. Is everybody okay? Believe God has given you the power for wealth. And decree his word that is true. Is everybody with me? Decree that his word is true. Now, go to Psalm 1 first. Psalm chapter 1. You know, the word says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Didn't say it was just going to be brought to your front door. Hello? It's there. You just got to go get it. And it takes warfaring. It takes obedience. It takes it being divine order. You know, there are many wealthy Christians also that I can see they can do a lot more than what they're doing, and they don't. They're still trying to protect their empire instead of expanding the kingdom of God more. In verse 1, blessed is the man who what? Walks not on the counsel of the ungodly. Hello, blessed is him. Nor stands in the path of what? Sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he what? He what? Meditates day and night. In other words, he's looking to please the Lord. He wants to make sure his heart is always set towards the Lord. Now, there's something I got to share with you quickly. And this is something that we talked about yesterday. And one of the most, listen, you can't do these things if you're not an individual of prayer. And I'm not saying get up in the morning and you say the Our Father. Your prayer time in the morning should be a time of exchange of heart. It's you're giving your heart for his. Your prayer time is a time of exchange of heart. And you know when that heart has been exchanged. You know it. You know, people put flesh first. I want to encourage you to change your way of prayer and your way of life in the morning. Don't get up and go to breakfast. I mean, yeah, it's cool to get a cup of coffee or whatever, but go to prayer. Don't feed your flesh first. Feed your spirit first. Because what you feed first is what you'll be led by during that day. Hello? Well, I'll be late for work. Then get up earlier. I can barely make it now. Too bad. Ask the Lord to quicken you. Hello? Don't watch so much TV and get some rest. Hello? Quit staying up late and gabbing. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Hello? And verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Verse 3, he shall be like a what? Tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall what? Prosper. Yes, prosper. But the ungodly are not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, and the way of the ungodly shall what? Perish. And the way of the ungodly shall perish. So it's important that we get this understanding today, and I want to make some decrees. Does anybody want to make some decrees today so we can kick a little butt? Would you repeat after me? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I break all assignments of the enemy against my finances, my prospering, and power for wealth. I break all the curses of poverty, lack, debt, and failure in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of mammon, greed, covetousness, selfishness, fear, pride that will come against myself and my family in the name of Jesus. You are Jehovah Jireh, my provider, who does far above all I could ever ask or think. You are El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. I am your servant. And you take pleasure in my prosperity. Wealth and riches are in my house because I fear you and delight in obeying you. Lord, you called me and will make my way to prosper. Today, command your blessing upon my storehouse and cause the enemy to restore my wealth in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, release the wealth of the wicked into my hands and release my inheritance that I may provide for your kingdom in Jesus' name. Lead me to the place of wealth and grant me the wisdom to pursue. I decree and call forth your promises to give glory to the King and honor to you all of my days in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Be blessed.